My brothers and sisters, why did John the Baptist go into the desert? Why did he wear merely camel's hair and eat simply locusts and wild honey? So that his heart could be free. So that he would be detached from the things of this passing world, that his heart might be fixed on the things of heaven. In order to fulfill his mission in this life by not succumbing to the distractions of this life. For he knew that he was called not only to prepare the world for our Lord's coming, but to prepare his own heart for the acceptance of our Savior. How easy it is as we pass through this life to little by little allow our heart to become attached to things that if we're honest with ourselves, we'd be a lot better off without. And whether we realize it or not, those things start to clutter our heart in such a way that there's not room for our Lord as there should be. What might be some examples of this? On one occasion, a married couple, a family, invited me over for dinner. And I arrived at the house. The husband, the father of the family greeted me at the door. "Father, come on in." We went in and we sat down in the living room. He says, "Father, can I offer you something to drink?" I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." He said, "Water, soda, juice, milk." I said, water'd be fine. He said, "Father, I'd offer you beer, but I don't keep it in the house anymore." I said, "Okay." He said, "You know, it was the darndest thing." He says, I wasn't going and getting drunk, but I'd come home from work, and I thought, man, I just want to relax, kick my feet up. I'd go and I'd grab a beer out of the fridge. And he said, doing that once in a while, pretty soon it became every day. And pretty soon it wasn't just one beer, but three beers every single day. And all of a sudden one day I looked at myself thinking, what am I doing? He said, "Father, if it's in the house, I'm going to drink it so I don't keep it here anymore." A good priest friend of mine, probably one of the finest priests I know. We were in the seminary together. He's a number of years older than I am, was ordained at least 5 years before me. Even in the seminary, people regarded him as the most saintly guy in the house. He shared with me that after about 3 years within the priesthood, and that's when they say the honeymoon phase is over, right? After about 3 years, right? Then you just got to persevere, you push on. So he says after about 3 years, he's in his second assignment, and same thing. Mid-afternoon or later in the evening, he said, "Man, I just want to relax my mind for a little while, not think about anything. I'm just going to sit down in my chair in my room and turn on the TV for 5 minutes." 5 minutes became an hour. And it wasn't just once in a while, but every single day. And he said, "One day, it dawned on me, what am I doing? I'm complaining all the time. I don't have enough time to read. I'm not praying as I feel like I ought to be. I want to exercise more. And I'm sitting here in front of the TV every day." He said, "I went into my room. I unplugged that TV. I got rid of it. I will never have a TV in my private room again. It doesn't do me any good." People ask me all the time, "Father, in the season of Advent, how can I more prepare to welcome our Lord Jesus Christ anew at Christmas?" And I tell them I would take a look in your heart and see, are there any attachments that you could do without to make more room there for our Lord? My brothers and sisters, what else does the desert offer than freedom from the things of this passing world? But silence. Probably the thing in the culture of the United States we are most without. The noise that surrounds us. Okay, but we can't go to the desert, right? Sometimes I long to go to the desert. Gosh, Lord, I would become a saint if I could just leave everything and go and pray all the time. Maybe some of you who are married are thinking the same thing. Gosh, if I just didn't have all these kids and my spouse. And we can't go to the desert, so what do we do? St. Philip Neri, he's called the second apostle of Rome, lived in Rome arguably one of the noisiest cities in the world, constant chaos. I lived there for 5 years. You didn't even want to go out of your house sometimes because the streets are so crowded. He went to a spiritual director. He said, "Father, I think I got to get out of here. I think I need to go spend more time in prayer. I want to become a hermit. I want to go out into the desert." His spiritual director responded, "Rome is to be your desert." And he understood that he had to create his own desert in his heart. Time for silent communion with our Lord, even in the midst of all the busyness. My brothers and sisters, there is not a single man or woman in the history of the world who has become holy without making time for silent prayer with our Lord. You want to know how I knew that my mom's conversion was real? My mom grew up Catholic, but baptized in infancy. At some point along the lines, drifted away from the church. In her early 40s, she had a profound reawakening, a profound conversion experience. The way I knew that it was real, from my earliest days, I remember as a child, we'd get in the car, and my mom and I were only 21 years apart. So she was still young when I was just a child. We'd get in the car and she would blast the radio. Right, I could sing to you every sappy love song of the 70s and 80s. We'd get it and she'd be rocking out, bopping her head, you know, waving her arms. She picks me up from the seminary. I get in the car and I'm expecting the usual, right? She's going to immediately turn on the radio. And she doesn't. And I don't want to look at her like, "Oh my gosh, what happened to you?" She had come to the point where she had started to prefer silence. And it began when she started to attend daily Mass. And the reason she would go out to her car and not turn the radio on right away is because oftentimes she'd go to daily Mass, you know, she had these other kids, she had to bring them from one place to another. So she'd oftentimes have to leave right after receiving Holy Communion. And she wanted those precious moments while our Lord was in her soul physically to have that time to just be with Him, to speak to Him in her heart. And little by little, that silence started to permeate throughout her life. Because she came to understand that so long as she was in a state of grace, our Lord was always there in her heart. And she began to keep Him company more and more. A good friend of mine, a girl who graduated a year above me at the University of Notre Dame, she entered the monastic life, and she one time said to me, "Sometimes the silence is deafening. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to endure. But I realize that that silence is carving out a place in my soul for our Lord. It's emptying me so that there can be more room for Him." My brothers and sisters, our Lord will come again. Whether we meet Him when we pass from this life or whether He comes again in glory in our own lives, He calls us to be prepared for Him. Are there attachments that we can let go of? Are we making that time for silence? One young woman shared with me that during this Advent season, she's decided to come and spend half an hour a day in the church before the Blessed Sacrament. Another man shared with me that one of the things he greatly enjoys every morning is a cup of coffee with plenty of sugar and a lot of creamer. So during this Advent season, he's just drinking it black. A tiny little humble offering to die to something of this world, to let go of that attachment of his heart, that there might be more room for our Lord Jesus Christ. May we too seek to be prepared for Him.